Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on Big Talk 850 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here again today, as we are each Sunday at noon, with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates PA, a law firm practicing community association law throughout Florida. As our listeners know, we are here each week to answer all of your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from 1 minute to the next. As always, we would love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your questions. So give us a call right here in our studio, 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the email the show tab.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. And even if you don't want to send us an email, you should still visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com. You can listen to all of our past shows. You can sign up for our free seminars. And the 2013 list is out. We'll go over that in a little while. You can see who the show sponsors are and visit all of their websites. Lots of new sponsors as well. Thank you very much. You can link to our Facebook page. You can link to our HOA and condo blog at hoa-condoblog.com. Tomorrow's topic, when is a truck a truck? Always lots of litigation about that. You can join our email list and get copies of our newsletters and other announcements about the show. As a matter of fact, now you can also get our latest firm newsletter, which gives you a really easy-to-follow, detailed breakdown of all of the new laws that were passed by the Florida legislature that took effect July 1st. So, again, if you want to see what those new laws are, just go to condocrazeandhoas.com, and our newsletter is up there. And, of course, if you'd like to call our law firm directly and pick our brains off the air, you can call Glazer & Associates at 855-4-CONDO-CRAZE. Again, 855-4-CONDO-CRAZE. Law firm's website, condo-laws.com. Again, condo-laws.com.
And last week, Jeffrey Alm from Associa was on the show. Jeff is always a great guest. We spoke about the fact that in a day and age where Democrats and Republicans can't agree on anything, House Bill 7119 passed with huge bipartisan support. We spoke about the case of the 75-year-old man who got in trouble at his condo for going downstairs in his boxer shorts.
Although he denies it,
It was a swimming suit. And we spoke about how another management company took off with money from lots of different associations.
Yeah, and Jeff gave us so many great tips on what boards and management companies should be doing to keep track of the manager at the association. But today we're joined by another great management executive. Let's welcome Darlis Walker, the CEO of Condominium Concepts, who's also a longtime sponsor of the show. Welcome to the show, Darlis. Darlis, are you there?
Ooh.
Oh, that doesn't sound good.
Oh, she's not there.
No,
oh.
We lost Darlis. Doesn't that stink?
Oh, no.
Okay, we'll make it work. How about this, and we'll try to get her back. And in the meantime, why don't we take Leah from Aventura?
Oh, hi.
How are you, Leah?
I'd like some information about condo meetings, because we have four corporations, and then we have the council meeting with eight on the council. And we have a tiebreaker. We'd like to know if the tiebreaker has the right to speak any opinion during discussion time, or he has to wait to be asked to vote.
Again, there's no way for me to know the answer to your question without actually taking a look at what the bylaws of your corporation say. This tiebreaker, is he or she a president of one of the other four?
No. President and whoever, you know, whatever two representatives are up there. And each year, a different corporation has a tiebreaker.
Right.
And so as we understood it, they're arguing about this, as they understood it, the tiebreaker has to be quiet until he's asked to vote. But we had a problem where he got up and he started voicing his opinion during the discussion, which
let me ask you this.
Now that he doesn't have the right to do that.
And is this person that actually cast a tie-breaking vote, are they a unit owner in the association?
Yeah, they're a unit owner, but they're not on the board.
Okay, but still, they're a unit owner. It certainly seems, by the virtue of the fact that they're simply a unit owner, any unit owner is allowed to speak on any agenda item. So simply by virtue, forget the fact that they're the tie-breaking vote or that they're a member of the board, the fact that they're simply a unit owner, to me, tells me that they have the right to vote. Okay? The right to speak, I should say. That they have the right to speak at the meeting, correct.
So they have to say, I want to say this as an owner before they speak?
They can say, if that's what they want to say, they can put it that way. Then I'm not talking in my capacity as the tie-breaking vote. I'm talking in my capacity as a unit owner. Every unit owner has the right to speak on any agenda item. So I would say, regardless of what your bylaws say, that unit owner has the right to speak. Okay.
Oh, I see.
Thanks.
Even though,
yeah. This is America.
Okay.
Exactly. Thanks.
No, thank you very much.
Thanks for the call,
it.
Leah. All right. Taking your calls, 877-850-8585. Do we have Darlis back on the line?
Yes. Thumbs up.
Darlis, you there?
I am here. Can
All
you
right.
hear me?
Yes. All right. Thanks for calling in, Darlis. I did welcome you to the show. Said you're a longtime sponsor. So once again, welcome to the show and thanks for being a longtime sponsor.
Oh. Thank you so much. I enjoy being a part of this group, and hopefully I'll be of some help today.
Well, you always are. You know, now so many of our listeners have already had the pleasure of meeting you at our board certification seminars. And for those of you that attended, you may remember, Darlis is the lady on the dais that shows us time and time again that she actually knows a lot more than most of the guys do. Mm. And Darlis, tell us a little bit about Condominium Concepts.
Condominium Concepts is a firm that's based in Atlanta. We've been in business since 2000, but we do have regional offices in Orlando, Boca Raton, and Jacksonville. And we have about 300 employees. We manage about 18,000 units.
Wow. Well,
and I don't know that I know more than the men. I think I look at it from a different perspective.
I gotcha. And you're also doing some work here in South Florida as well.
I am. We have some properties in Miami, Fort Lauderdale. So, yeah, we go from one end of Florida to the other.
Well, let's tell everybody just how devoted you are to your field. You know, by the way, many of you also know Darlis because when I blog about something on Monday, Darlis winds up blogging about that topic on Wednesday, but from the perspective of the association's manager. And I got to say this, Darlis, our listeners should know, you know, I don't believe I've ever met a harder working executive than you, because I don't think I've ever spoken to Darlis 2 days in a row from when she's in the same city. She is constantly traveling. You know, Darlis, how important is it for you to actually go out and visit your clients? I know you're always in the field going to different associations literally all over the Southeast United States. How important is it for you to go out and actually see what's going on at these associations?
Well, you know, Eric, when we started the company, what I found one of the main complaints was that the boards and the homeowners felt they got no response or response was very delayed. And I decided at that time that we would be very hands-on and that I would keep my finger in the pie. And I just feel like me being accessible to our boards 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and going to the properties and ensuring that my regionals and my VPs are doing their job and spending time with the on-site staff as well as the boards, that I get to really not make decisions that are more corporate-related, but I make decisions that really benefit our boards. I can honestly say that of our 18,000 units, all of my boards know me personally.
That's fantastic.
They've met me. I attend meetings. I walk the properties. I'm very hands-on.
That's great. You know, in fact, every time we have a board certification course at the Hard Rock, no matter where you are, you make it a point to meet our listeners and fly in for the event. And you've now participated in so many of these educational events. I'm curious to know what you think. You know, you think HOA members are going to benefit from the new law that allows them now to get certified just like condo members do and have educational opportunities available to them?
Absolutely. I think that it not only will increase their awareness of what they need to do to operate their associations and bring them to a higher level of professionalism and trust for their homeowners, but I also think that the laws have to continue to improve along the same line as the condo laws, because I feel like we've made a huge step in giving the HOAs some guidance by having them register with the DPBR. But we need now to make the laws very similar. You know, I've said in the blog many times, there is no difference between an association of an HOA and an association for a condo.
Right.
And legislatures have to realize that And I, you know, we find, or I have found during our your board certification seminars, a lot of the major questions and complaints come from either HOA board members or homeowners who have taken it upon themselves to attend the meetings and have those complaints about their HOA. Very little of the complaints come from the condo associations. So it clearly shows us that we have to have more regulation.
Sure.
And I know nobody wants the government running their business, but we have to give them the guidelines so that we don't have the problems that seem to permeate through the homeowners association.
Exactly.
Industry.
I know, yeah, a lot of people are turned off by the word regulation, but I think as you've always said and I've always said and certainly Jan have always said, it's not regulation. And even both representatives and the senator, Senator Hayes, who actually sponsored the legislation, and Representative LaRosa specifically said that it's not regulation, it's consumer assistance. I mean, the DBPR simply
right.
provides a lot of assistance to condominiums that they don't provide to HOAs. So I'm certainly looking forward to the day, at least hopefully it's something we're going to attack next year, where HOA owners would be able to pick up the phone, you know, like you say, and get some assistance from the DBPR. But at least we're getting off to a great start this year with some education. And, you know, like we said last week, one of the best accomplishments was getting the statutes amended this year to allow for certification of HOA directors. And since we already certified about 5,000 people to be eligible to serve on a condo board, it's now time for us to teach the law to HOA directors as well. So here we go. Let's just roll off the list. Here's a list of educational opportunities for board certification for both condo directors and, I'm proud to say now, HOA directors. Our first class, September 26th at the Hard Rock in Hollywood at 7 o'clock p.m. I understand, Darla, you made your reservation already.
I have. I look forward to it. I always learn a lot from the audience.
That's absolutely me too. You know, oftentimes people, when we have these the seminar evaluations filled out, some people say the worst part about it was you took questions from the audience.
Oh,
but
no.
We get more people that say the best part of it was you took questions from the audience. So you can't please
right.
everybody.
Right.
So again, my feeling is you show up, you take time to come out and learn something. I'll stand there and answer your questions all day. It might be the first time for a lot of these people that they actually get a chance to talk to an attorney without being on the clock. So, again, first class, September 26th at the Hard Rock, 7 o'clock p.m. Then October 10th, we'll be in Miami at the Miami Beach Convention Center. October 16th, we'll be at the West Palm Beach Convention Center. October 24th, we'll be at the Tampa Bay Condo and HOA Expo. November 16th at the Holiday Inn at Universal Studios in Orlando, and December 4th at the South Florida Cooperator Expo in Fort Lauderdale. And before long, we'll actually have our schedule up for 2014.
Yeah, and in addition, all the show's sponsors, like Condominium Concepts, will be there as well, with all their product and service information for your community. And just to remind everyone, the law provides that you can become certified 1 year before getting elected to the board, or within 3 months of actually getting elected to the board. So there's a school of thought that says that if you're thinking about running for the board in your upcoming election, why not come and take the course right now and get certified. And you can promote the fact that you're already certified when you decide to run. And by the way, the course also provides 4 continuing education credits for all Florida Community Association managers. And many CAMs have attended the seminar together with the directors on their board. And the CAMs are great to have because, you know, they really keep the attorneys on their toes at the seminar. So remember to go to www.condocrazeandhoas.com to register.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you do, Brian will send you back a confirming email. Let's do this. Let's take our first break of the hour, taking your calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We're here at Darla Swarker from Condominium Concepts, and we'll talk a lot about the controversy over flying the flag in our condos and
yes.
HOAs. We'll be back right after this.
Well, Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on Big Talk 850. I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates, PA. And we're taking your phone calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. And by the way, if you have a product or service that would be beneficial to our listeners and want to be a guest on the show, attend our monthly seminars where you'll meet hundreds of different associations, be listed on the show's website, and have a commercial spot during each week's show, you can become a sponsor of the show. Just visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and send us a quick email.
All right. How about we go to Arthur in Boynton Beach?
Good afternoon. Safe, patriotic 4th of July weekend. I live in an
What?
Lost him. Call back,
what
Arthur.
What happened? Arthur has to call back.
Well, I heard you had some great news about our new legislation.
Yeah, I certainly do, Karen. You know, we always say that HOA law was so bad that it allowed HOA directors who steal from the association to actually stay on the board while they were serving from prison, believe it or not. Well, you know, there was one case at an HOA in Orlando called Bimini Bay where that was going on for quite some time. And, in fact, that director was arrested twice and was still on the board. And the day before our legislation took effect on July 1st, that would have automatically removed him. What do you think the guy did?
He resigned,
right? He actually wanted to go out on his terms, apparently. So, but there you have it. A perfect example of how the new legislation now works at its finest. A guy that steals from the HOA. Gone. He quit. Darlis, you still with us?
I am still with you.
All right, you got to agree that that's some good news, right? Oh. I mean, you steal from the association, you're gone.
You know, that is some great news, and I think as we continue to improve on the laws, we'll see less of this theft going on, and I'm excited about that.
You're hoping. I mean, I got to tell you, this was something that condo owners, like you said, you'd like to see the laws get a little closer together. This is a benefit that condominium owners had, but board members in an HOA didn't have it. So obviously here's a great example of HOAs getting a big benefit from the new legislation. But our prior caller, again, taking your calls at 877-850-8585, Arthur from Boynton Beach, started to wish us all a happy and healthy 4th of July weekend. And I do hope everybody really had a happy and healthy 4th. And a few weeks ago, we blogged about the fact that it was Memorial Day and how Memorial Day is also known as Decoration Day. But despite the fact that the holiday kind of encourages patriotic decoration, there always seems to be a fight about flag displays in our Florida HOAs.
Yeah, and now with the 4th of July behind us, you can rest assured that a few more of these flag display cases may pop into the news. You know, usually once a year, we like to remind our associations about what the Florida statutes say in regards to flag displays. So, Eric, why don't you tell them?
All right, here we go. In a condominium, any unit owner can display one portable, removable United States flag in a respectful way, and on Armed Forces Day, Memorial Day, Flag Day, Independence Day, and Veterans Day, you can display in a respectful way a portable, removable official flag of not larger than 4.5 by 6 feet that represents the U.S. Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine, or Coast Guard. Regardless, this is regardless of any decoration rules or requirements that deal with flags or decorations.
Yeah, and in an HOA, the statute says, any homeowner may display one portable, removable United States flag or official flag of the state of Florida in a respectful manner, and one portable, removable official flag in a respectful manner not larger than 4.5 feet by 6 feet, which represents the U.S. Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps, or Coast Guard, or a POW-MIA flag, regardless of any covenants, restrictions, bylaws, rules, or requirements of the association.
Now, it's interesting. I just noticed also that apparently in an HOA, you can fly the flag of the state of Florida, but you can't fly the state of Florida flag in a condo. I mean, just bizarre stuff.
And a POW flag.
Yeah, exactly.
Upside down.
Yeah. Yeah. As many of you know, and as Darlis was alluding to, I spent a great deal of time this year trying to bring the condo statutes and the HOA statutes kind of closer together, the intent being, you know, again, that unit owners in one type of these communities have the same rights as the owners in the other type of community. But these statutes, I have to tell you, they're yet another example of inconsistencies that make no sense. Because in a condominium, it has to be either Armed Forces Day, Memorial Day, Flag Day, Independence Day, or Veterans Day in order to display one of those flags that actually represent the Navy, Air Force, Marines, or Coast Guard. Now, in an HOA, you can display one of those flags all year round. Now, I'll say this. You know, go tell a former Marine that he can't display his Marine Corps flag because he lives in a condo, but a former Marine who lives in an HOA, he can display the Marine Corps flag all year long. You know, when you tell that guy, you may want to duck.
Yeah, big time. And why is it, though, that we hear these stories year after year of associations demanding that the American flag or other patriotic decorations be removed from the front lawns or windows, but on the contrary, we almost never hear complaints from associations about overzealous Christmas decorations or other holiday displays.
Yeah, what do you think, Darlis? Why is it that these kind of complaints seem to make the news year after year?
You know, I have yet to figure that out. I will tell you, we had an interesting case this year where a POW flag was placed in an association, a condo association. It was displayed. The homeowner was instructed to take it down, and after a battle between him and the condo association, the gentleman chose to took the flag down. Because, as you see, it's not allowed in the condominium law. And he decided to display a number of, let's just say, adult toys because he felt he was getting screwed by his association.
That is a good one. I don't remember anything in the statute, though, that allows you to display adult toys. Scott, am I wrong?
No, but I don't know anything that prevents you.
There you go. Put him up. Good for him. They won't let you put the flag up. Then put up sex toys. What can I tell you?
Listen, if you want to live in a condo, you know going in that there are going to be rules against doing certain things. I mean, I personally don't have a problem with anybody putting up flags once in a while, especially for the holidays. But, you know, come on, everybody. If you want to get along with your neighbors, you know going in you're not going to be able to do certain things. And if you want to do them, you know, there are plenty of other places to live in the state of Florida.
And there's limitations. Like I remember we spoke about a case on the show about a year ago of a mom who put up like a whole bunch of flags and pictures of her son that was serving in Afghanistan. And she left it up there for a long time. And finally the neighbors said, you know what? We appreciate basically everything that your son has done for our country, but I don't know if we necessarily want to stare at his picture on the lawn 24/7, 365 days a year. So I guess, again, there are limits, but let's do this. Let's take our bottom of the hour break, and when we get back, we'll find out what our blog readers think about the right to display the flag in our community associations. Taking your calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Second half hour of Condo Craze and HOAs here on Big Talk 850. I'm Karen Curtis again with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer and Associates PA. And we're taking your phone calls at 877-850-8585. That's 877-850-8585.
All right, before we move on, I just want to remind everybody about our new column in the HOA, in the Florida Community Association Journal, called Q's and A's for HOAs. It's a question and answer column devoted specifically to HOAs. And again, it appears in the Florida Community Association Journal each month. So to get a look at what the Florida Community Association Journal is all about, just go to www.flcaj.com. Again, flcaj.com. And if you want to write me an HOA question for our column and get your answer in the actual magazine, just email your questions to eric@hoa-laws.com. Again, that's eric@hoa-laws.com. All right, so before we went to the break, we were talking about the fights between associations and their members actually regarding displaying the flag at our community associations. And this week I received an email from somebody named Frank H., who says they're a fan of the show. And we did a story, I believe, last year about a guy in Virginia who that story actually made national news. This guy simply refused to take down his flag, even after being denied a permit to put up a flagpole. And it turns out that that gentleman's name was Van Barfoot, and apparently died on March 2nd of this year. But here's why he refused to take down the flag. It turns out that while serving in World War II in Italy, he rescued 17 prisoners of war. He personally destroyed 3 German tanks. He served in Korea and Vietnam.
Oh my God.
And earned the Congressional Medal of Honor, retiring as a colonel.
Whoa.
He should be able to fly the flag.
Yeah, well, it turns out the HOA would have allowed him to fly the flag if it was mounted on the house, but would not let him put it up a separate flagpole, it says. Well, he went ahead and erected it anyway, and after the story made national news, the HOA caved in.
Well, at the time, he was quoted as saying, "In the time I have left, I plan to continue to fly the American flag without interference."
And he did. He actually, until the end, flew that flag. Now, interestingly enough, in Florida, you're actually allowed to put up a flagpole as long as you can get the code requirements taken care of by your local municipality. But Colonel Barfoot, rest in peace, and thank you for service to the community. You really made a great national story. But what is it about the display of the American flag or similar decorations that causes association leadership to sometimes demand that really even the most tactful and tasteful displays of patriotism be immediately removed? And again, and just like Scott said earlier, I'm not suggesting that a homeowner be allowed to kind of paint their entire home red, white, and blue with 50 stars all over the place. But I am suggesting, however, that associations must often have to make the choice of picking and choosing their battles. And far too often, the battle chosen seems to be a battle against display of our own flag. But let's see what our blog readers thought. Sharon writes in, and Sharon says, "Amen to that, Eric. What can be objectionable about a respectful display of our flag? I got a challenge from the HOA board about my flag because golfers playing on the golf course could see it, although I don't live on the golf course, but there was a break in the trees sufficient to see it. Nothing came of it, but there was a lot of pushback when I put my Blue Star family flag on my door when our son was deployed to Iraq. I moved it indoors but left it in the door. Most people have no idea what a Blue Star or Gold Star flag means. Sad, not all the residents are veterans. I don't object to a respectful display of other flags either. It adds to the character of the neighborhood. Strange, though, that more people object to flying Old Glory than they do the flags of their various alma maters." That's true.
Oh, yeah.
You see UM flags and Gator flags and, you know, Seminole flags all over the place. It never seems to raise a controversy. Put up the American flag, though, people start to scream and yell. But Sharon also raises another interesting point, and she says she doesn't object to the other flags being displayed either. Now, again, the statute only allows the display of the American flag, but suppose one of your neighbors wants to fly the Canadian flag or the Israeli flag, or how about the flag of Afghanistan or Iran or Iraq, right? You know, would that be okay to our listeners? Can you, should your neighbor be able to put up the Iranian flag? You know, what's your take on that? After all, if we have freedom of speech, does that apply across the board? You know, should we allowed, should we be allowed to fly just our flag or the flag of any country? I'd be curious to know what our readers think of that.
Yes, absolutely. And Nyla Ridings writes in, "Every home I've owned has always had the American flag flying 365 days per year. Currently, I live in a townhome, and the only way to fly the flag is with a bracket on the inside of the garage door frame. At times, I take the flag down because it blows into the stucco and snags the fabric. I love seeing it, and when I pull up to my house, I love to see it then as well. One day, I was with a neighbor who asked why I have that flag on my house. I explained to her why. Her response will stick with me forever. I am so sick of all this flag flying. After 9/11, it was nauseating seeing flags everywhere. You looked on cars and houses."
Yeah, I guess when you hear talk like that from people, it makes other people want to fly the flag even more and higher in that person's face, quite frankly.
Well, I feel a little differently, actually. I think supporting our country is actually more important than the way we treat it.
Right.
You know, the people that like to be all in your face with flying the flag, they support America like it's a sports team or something
right,
like that.
Right.
I think it's more important than that. And I don't think, you know, you display how much you care about this country just by how much you can decorate your house with the American
flag. Very true. Good point. Just because you fly the flag doesn't mean you're a good American.
You know, it just means you want everyone to think that you're supporting the country.
You trying to say there are some phonies living in our associations?
Phony
I don't believe
flyers?
It.
I think there are
yeah.
a lot of phonies in the world. No, listen, obviously a lot of people that love the country like to, you know, support the troops and whatnot with flying a flag. But just because someone, you know, doesn't want to look at a gigantic banner in front of their window all the time doesn't mean that they don't love this country just as much as you do.
Yeah.
It just means, you know, they just support it in different ways.
Yeah.
So I don't think, you know, just it's like, you know, just because you scream the loudest doesn't mean you're right.
Darlis, all right? In all your years as a community association executive, have you ever heard other complaints, you know, regarding other decorations like, hey, these Christmas displays are too much or these Halloween displays are too much? Or basically have the fights always been when it comes to the flying the American flag?
Well, I'd like to make two points. One, I think that our government has gone so far by the wayside that a lot of individuals feel that by displaying the flag, we're committing to the government, and they're so dissatisfied with the behavior of the government officials that I think tends to spark some anxiety in people.
Right.
I don't agree with it, but I do think that that's problematic. But, you know, it's interesting that we see less flags flying in South Florida, very few displays of any patriotic symbolism. We see more of that in North Florida, in the Jacksonville market. Orlando's kind of just out there. They're kind of in the middle. But what we see more for against holiday decorations, we see a lot of the patriotic symbols being shown in Georgia and Tennessee, but they fight more over the holiday decorations.
Right. You see, I got no problem saying it right here on the show as well. I am somewhat disappointed in the lack of showing patriotism down here in the South Florida area. I can tell you, I remember growing up as a kid in Brooklyn when it was July 4th and Memorial Day. Almost every house had a flag out, without exception. Today, even in my own community, you don't see it. You know, does it take a national tragedy like 9/11 to get people to remember to fly the flags again? Seems like things have calmed down. There hasn't been such a tragedy, thank God. But I agree with you, Darlis. I don't see the flags flying in our communities, and, you know, it makes you wonder why. But we have to take our final break of the hour, taking your calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We'd love to know what you guys think of the flag controversy. Taking your calls, we'll be back right after this.
Back to the final segment of Condo Craze and HOAs here on Big Talk 850. Again, I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates. The number to call, 877-850-8585. That's 877-850-8585.
And, of course, we have Darlis Walker from Condominium Concepts on the line as well. We were talking about the flag controversies that go on in our associations throughout Florida. Let's just finish up with some of the comments from our blog readers. Bill C. writes in and says, Counselor Glazer, I'm not sure if this is a comment or a question. It appears that no matter where we look in some Florida HOAs, the dictatorial techniques and procedures are evident. The reflection of Memorial Day should be a reminder of freedom and a gratifying salute to those brave men and women that fought so bravely to ensure continuance of it. In this spirit, some board members and in some cases management should reflect and make their community more democratic and more harmonious. I don't think anybody would disagree with that. That's
no.
Kind of what Condo Craze and HOAs is all about, right? Why can't we be friends?
Friends.
Exactly.
Right.
How about our next reader, Karen?
Darlis likes it. Michael Katz writes in and says, no matter how fancy a condo or co-op might be, there's no excuse for barring American flags or blue or gold star banners. It is disgraceful that anyone would even think of that. And I am not a conservative. I'm pretty much far to the left.
Well, again, I don't think that party affiliation has much to do with this flag issue as well. You know, whether you're a Republican, whether you're a Democrat, or whether or not you're independent, I don't think that there's many people out there who would take the position that in a condo or an HOA, your right to fly the flag doesn't exist. I think everybody would stand by that wholeheartedly. We are all American. How about we take Jerry from North Lauderdale? How are you, Jerry?
In the call, Eric.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. In terms of the rights of owners, one of the questions that we have is sort of more of the rights of the individual buildings in a condominium. We've been told that it's illegal to charge a move-in fee, and I was wondering if you had any words on whether such a thing is illegal.
Well, when you say move-in fee, who is that fee charged to? Is it charged
to new owners moving in?
Yeah, no, you can't do that. It's certainly not allowed under the statute. You can charge transfer fees. In other words, when someone is applying to move into the community, you can charge $100 per applicant. A husband and wife are considered one applicant, but that's about it. You can do the same thing for renters. And the only other thing you can do with renters is you can make the renter pay a security deposit equal to 1 month's rent that covers the association in case any of the common elements get damaged.
But that's what the move-in fee was for the damage to elevators, lobbies, and so on that typically occurs during moving in.
You're saying charging unit owners a fee just in case they break something? Yeah, well,
a new owner moving in because the buildings have already paid for the lobbies and things out of their own building treasury.
Well, you know something? To me, there's nothing in the statute that allows for it, that allows the association to charge this fee. If a new unit owner moves in and breaks something, then the association has the right to sue that unit owner just like they would sue any other unit owner who winds up breaking the common elements. I don't think a particular new unit owner is under any specific scrutiny and should be forced to pay an additional fee. Certainly nothing in the statute that allows for it, and I definitely don't think a board can simply make a rule that says that.
Thank you very much, sir.
Okay.
You helped satisfy a question,
okay.
A dispute.
That's what we try to do, Jerry. All right, finishing up really quick in the minute or two we got left.
Rosemary Zuba says that how sad it has to I have to read politics and comments being posted. I'm a Democrat and have no problem with flying the American flag. It has nothing to do with Republican or Democrat. What you have is a control thing going on in some communities. Doesn't matter what political party the controller is. On the other hand, too bad some people think that flying the flag is proof that they are patriotic, like you said, Scott.
Yeah, exactly. Just because you fly the flag doesn't mean you're patriotic.
Yeah, and I hope everybody that's so zealous about having their flags on their doors and their garages are treating those American flags with respect and folding them every night if they're not illuminated at night.
Yeah.
Interesting
article. Yeah. Okay, so interesting article in the Sun Sentinel this week, too, about a group of people that are going to the homes of people that have tattered flags displayed and saying, hey, you got to take it in because to display the flag that is tattered or torn,
show some respect.
That's worse than not displaying it at all. Yeah. So, hey, Darlis, in the minute we got left, how about telling everybody how they can get in touch with Condominium Concepts?
Sure. You can go to our website at www.condominiumconcepts.com. Or you can call our office in Atlanta and speak to me personally at 404-917-0600, extension 219.
Oh, and you know how you're at Darlis's booth at all of these events?
Yeah.
Just find the booth with all the attractive young ladies in front of it.
Oh.
The I mean, Darlis, unbelievable.
This is radio.
Always puts on... Right, exactly.
Maybe I should stop dodging these things you
do. Exactly. You want to see a good-looking crew, you got a Condominium Concept.
Well, as a fellow Scott, I'd like to congratulate Andy Murray on
winning Wimbledon. Hey, Darlis, thank you so much for joining us today. And thanks to Condominium Concepts.
Thank you for having me.
You got it. Everybody have a great week, and we'll see you again next week on Condo Craze and HOAs.
Have a great trip.